everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tight Mates Fitness Podcast. Kyle, we're super excited to be back. It's been a while and summer is fastly approaching. I know it takes a little bit longer in Melbourne, but we have a summer series that we are speaking about over the next 4 or 5 weeks to set people up to achieve some, I guess, common big goals that people make or generally will say to someone, but maybe sometimes they won't actually achieve it or get it done.
Yep, it's probably a trait that I've done previously before, just talking to people in general, and you say you're going to do something, but turns out that you've never done it. Now, the thing is, sometimes there's one-liners where you remember people and what their goals they set. And it always sits in the back of my head that people think you might forget about it, but you do sometimes remember of what they said or what you've said to someone. So it's can play in the back of the mind.
Definitely. And even if a good friend says they're going to do something, maybe you should actually keep them accountable as well.
And yeah, that's the thing too, because what should a good friend do? They should keep you accountable. And, you know, if it's asking that hard question of why haven't you done it yet, or what have you been doing, then it might spark a flame again. It's like, well, shit, I did set this goal. Why haven't I gone through with it? And, you know, maybe there is going to be a few reasons why. Maybe you didn't have a full plan, structure with how you were going to achieve it. So that's something that we're going to attack today. So what's the first thing that we're talking about?
Well, I would like to say, firstly, I'm not perfect in achieving goals, but I know that with the things that I have achieved, I have definitely written them down firstly. And I know Kyle and I, we both use a, I guess, diary, but it's more specifically for goal setting. Again, it's called My Goals. I know I always mention it, but if I write it down in this, it'll structure it for you. So it'll actually ask you many questions, or it'll ask you to step by step plan out how you're going to achieve that goal, whatever you set. Mm. And then in it, it's like a yearly calendar as well. After each month, it'll get you to like review how you have progressed with the goals that you've set, short or long term. And I think that's one thing that keeps you accountable. If you don't have people that are, you know, asking you, tracking you, or coaching you to achieve your goals. But firstly, the one big one that I hear a fair bit, I said it, didn't complete it for a long time, but eventually got it done, was completing your first marathon.
That's a big one, isn't it? It's probably one of the big milestones that you can achieve. Maybe some people, quarter life crisis, midlife crisis, where they want to do something hard to get them back into the flow of things. Yeah. But before even, you know, completing a marathon for yourself, what was your journey with it? Because I know a lot of people speak about running and they're like, it's goddamn boring. Why would I do it? And, you know, it just doesn't give me that joy. So for you, why running? What made you get into it?
I 100% agree with those statements. Like, I didn't mind running, but like, I didn't love it. Or if I seen someone say, oh, I've done more than 10K, I'm like, are you crazy? Like, why would you do that? Mm. But my journey, it's been quite a slow one, I guess. Like, I set a goal to achieve a marathon, but it took me a long time to do it. But I guess, firstly, how did I get into running? Always sort of ran through sport, through footy, cricket, tennis, but never like really long distance running. I was always okay at running, nothing special, but yeah, that's sort of where running sort of came into it. But for years, actually, from about 18 to 23, so about two to four years, I actually couldn't run. And that's because I was struggling with my groins. I was getting osteitis pubis, the old football disease, which is from my time running now, I can definitely say it was from kicking, because I don't get it from running.
Yeah, it definitely does aggravate the pubis bone quite a lot.
And I think I definitely tore something in my adductors and kept trying to train and probably wasn't training right in the gym as well. So my time to get in that time period, I started to really pay attention to strength training and just strengthening my adductors, doing different compound lifts, etc. But getting back to completing a marathon in COVID, like a lot of people, no organized sports, a little bit bored, started running. Asked one of my close mates, Caleb, if he wanted to do a half marathon. We knew it was coming up and we were thinking hopefully it will happen. And we just started training with each other. And I think that's a good way to do it. Do it with a friend. If they have the same similar goal, they'll keep you accountable, on track. And then, I completed my first half marathon with the Melbourne Half.
Got it done.
And then we progressed to maybe the next year. I was thinking, wanted to complete a full marathon and just self-training my way to a marathon. I was going pretty hard. I'd just been watching YouTube, etc., learning along the way. And then 2 weeks out from the event, I actually got a stress fracture. Which was pretty disheartening. I had to pull out, got an MRI, and they said, if you continue on, it's going to get way worse. So had to pull out, which was pretty bad, but learnt a lot of lessons from that, which actually we're going to speak about 10 lessons coming up that I have learnt, and you as well, from our time running. And then, got into the Ironman or half Ironman triathlon scene. And then got coaching, and then for the next marathon, the first marathon, ended up getting coaching, which I think helped tremendously, and that helped me get my first marathon done on the Gold Coast, which was awesome. A great feeling.
Beautiful. It is. It's a bit of a journey, lessons learned. And with the lessons, let's start with number one. So where do we go with that one, Brando?
Well, depending on your background, this can vary greatly, but for someone that's just starting to get into long distance running, I would generally say just slowly start to build your running through different distances. So if you sort of struggle to run 1 kilometer, break it down into 100 meter run, 100 meter walk, and slowly progress to that, and then move to your 5K, to your 10K, and then if you're confident enough, transition to your 20, 1K, your half marathon, and then from there you're slowly building your endurance and you'll make your way to 42 Ks. And one thing I really want to make a comment about is that endurance is built and it's not something that comes natural.
It's that's the biggest thing too, like you can't just go from this point to an extreme. It's about building that endurance, because otherwise, you just crash and burn. And if you're comparing to other people, then it's certainly not sustainable. And it can actually ride you off a little bit, because you're comparing yourself and you don't see yourself potentially achieving it. But actually, one thing for me, because I just went straight off the bat with the marathon. And it probably helped with me because I did it for a fundraiser. So if that's something that probably will help you more so to stick by structure and continue through with it, it's probably straight away saying you're raising money for a certain fund. And that's what kept me accountable as well.
Because people are putting in, donating money because you're doing something
for a
good cause.
Also helped, because I definitely know that first marathon, what helped me the most was thinking about how easy I get to run. Other people don't have that opportunity to do it, and they're going through much worse things. So that was definitely a good chip that I put on my shoulder to sort of assist with getting through it.
Mind games, we love it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on to our second one, and this is a lesson I definitely learnt, and I guess it was the reason why I didn't complete my first marathon. And I think it's get a coach that's definitely done marathons running before, someone that you can look up to and ask them different questions. They set programs for you and keep you accountable. And like everyone, every professional athlete has a coach. So I'm not sure why you think you shouldn't.
Yeah. Regardless of if you're elite or if you're amateur or if you're just getting started, it's definitely the best way to learn and build into it, because not only are you, you know, probably a part of a community, but you're actually getting educated for the right reasons. So along that journey, you're actually learning things. Why are we doing this certain amount of kilometers this week? Why progressing over the week? Why a taper before the week before? What fuel should I stick with? It's, you know, probably talk about this later down, but like not switching your eating plan erratically, right, like before, compared to what you were doing previously.
Yeah.
So
a coach has learnt many lessons already. So if they can give you their lessons, then you don't have to make the same mistakes that they did.
Mm. Yep. 100%. Now, the third one is what you've just said. Join a run club. So, well coach, run club can be...
Sometimes you can just join a run club and it's just like free and you just show up. But generally there'll be people there that do coach, or they have completed what you want to do.
Mm.
So they're great people to reach out to as well, question, have chats with. And I guess also with that motivation side of things, if you can get there, then they're going to keep you motivated to run them and complete the distance, whatever they have planned for that day.
And it's a community as well. So you already have common ground with running, and, you know, I'm sure majority, there's going to be, you know, in the endurance world, you're probably going to be more relatable with certain people, especially if that's a key value and foundation that you've created for yourself, then you're going to meet like-minded people. So definitely helps. Good way to make friends as well.
It's a social outing.
Mm, absolutely.
After a run, they might go to a coffee shop and you can have coffee, have chats, plan to do something with some friends, people that you've met after.
Mm. So I know for me, I don't really like going out too much, but I prefer to do like a morning thing where you go for a run or go to the cafe. So if it's something that you think you'd prefer to do, then go for that viable option.
Yep, love it. So number four is do solo runs by yourself. So yes, it's great if you do join a run club, but I think it's also great to be able to do solo runs. Wow. And this is more so for the big day. Say when the marathon comes along and you've only done group training, you'll be used to just like having chats with people, being around people, but they're not necessarily going to be there on the game day to help and assist you.
Mm.
So if you're able to run solo, and especially for some longer runs, that'll give you some real good confidence going into your marathon, and you're not relying on other people to motivate you.
I think, the biggest thing is too, because when you're with a social group, you don't so much think about those negative thoughts that might come in when things start to get tough.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a good opportunity to go out by yourself, and when those thoughts do come up where you say, oh, I want to quit, it's working with that mindset side of things. I love doing solo runs for that sole reason. Also, you know, listening to a podcast or to a run as well. And obviously clarity, if you want to let things out, then I know you can sort of think and process certain issues that you've been having.
Yeah, it's great thinking time. A bit of mindfulness there as well. It's meditation running rather than other ways of meditation, sitting down, etc. It's something that I would much prefer. It's probably my meditation, just running by myself.
Mm.
But we'll move on to the next one. So number five, which is, well, building your endurance first. So if you're planning to do a marathon, the most important thing first is to build your longer run distance.
Mm.
because what I mean by that is you might watch other people do track sessions as well for their training. But I think, well, it is definitely the most important thing is to be able to build up to a similar distance that you will be doing for the marathon. So say if marathon's obviously 42.2K, you'll be able to build up your long run to at least a 30 to 32 kilometer distance.
Mm.
It gives you the confidence, the endurance to be able to, you know, make it through a full marathon.
And it's also running in like a zone two that's sustainable, because I know for myself in the first prep of my marathon, I was probably running too hard every session and I didn't really understand what my actual pace was. So it's finding, you know, with the longer runs, you're actually going a lot slower and you're controlling the tempo. Whereas, you know, those other sessions, you got to switch it up. But yeah, definitely making sure that you get those long sessions in that are slow.
And a rule of thumb, if you don't have a heart rate monitor, is just being able to have a chat with someone.
Mm.
So if you're comfortably able to chat with someone that you're running with, or if you're by yourself, just think, are you actually able to have a discussion with someone during that time?
And you can also have little stops along the way, like break it up if you need to suck on a gel for a couple of minutes and then reset and go, then that's probably a good opportunity to utilize that.
And also good practice too to have your gels while you're running.
Mm.
Because that's what you're going to be doing on the day as well.
Yep. So make sure you use the same gels that you've been using the whole time and not fully switching.
100%. Because it's a dangerous game to be playing with there. And then we move on to number six. So how you're actually going to be able to get a better time is through training your threshold sessions and doing like interval sessions where you're actually going to be working more in a zone 4-5. So your heart rate's going to be a lot high. You're going to be running at a quicker pace. This will increase your speed.
Mm. So it's obviously going to be a shorter run as opposed to a long run, but it's increasing that intensity hell of a lot. And like you said, it's going to help increase the speed significantly. Like I even know for myself, because I want to increase my speed for the half marathon. So it's integrating those thresholds where you're either running at the race speed or a fair bit higher, yeah, depending on what the session does,
yeah,
entail.
So most commonly we have like an interval session where it could be running for 800 meters and then you might rest for a minute or even a slow jog.
Mm.
Or then there's sessions where you'll do a slow warm up and then you'll pick up the pace for a amount of time and then slow back down, like a fartlek session.
Yep.
So speed play,
mm,
is where you'll, yeah, increase your speed, etc.
Yeah. So mixing those sessions up. Now, number seven is strength training is a must. That's what Brando has put down, and especially for your legs, which is obviously makes sense.
And you being a PT, I think you should be able to explain this one, why strength training is quite important.
Otherwise, your muscles tend to break down, and it's good to facilitate something that's going to be relatable with the exercises that you should be doing. So when you think about running, how can you emulate that in the gym, doing like split Bulgarian split squats or lunges? Because when you think about running, you're not running on the two legs the whole time, are you? It's single leg movements. So you want to emulate that movement as much as you can, whether it's like doing a step ups as well, where you can drive the knee through. And it definitely helps with reducing injury. So your muscles are going to be stronger for longer. And obviously it's you need to do the running in order to successfully complete what you're doing. But yeah, the most important part is it's injury proofing your body, and like prehab as well. So you don't need to go into the rehab side of things.
Because you're already doing it.
Yeah. So that's now with depending on people as well, like some might be more running focused as opposed to gym. Like I know for myself, I still take care of like my upper body, and that's what I enjoy doing.
The hybrid whereas, look.
Whereas, not quite. Whereas for, say, someone that doesn't go in the gym much, it's be more of a focus of doing like the compound lifts where you can get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, like an Olympic marathon runner, they're not going to spend time training their upper body. No. They're going to focus on those movements that replicate the run.
Mm.
Like, calf raises, etc., what you've just spoken about. So it really comes down to you as the individual, what you want to achieve. And same as you, I like trying to sustain some muscle above as well.
Mm. And there's always that trade-off. Like with your endurance side, with doing triathlons, it does make it harder with putting on muscle because you don't have as much time to
and it's put not towards it's not gym. Your main goal, I guess, at the end of the day too.
Mm. Yep.
Okay, moving on to there is number 8. We've already touched on this a bit, is fueling yourself. With that is during your training prep, if it's with your coach or whatever, you need to be able to fuel yourself. Oh my God. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Go on.
To be able to train at the intensity that you want to, I guess, complete.
And it's that optimization as well. So you're giving yourself the right fuel to complete, especially the race. You want to be able to complete that. But it's having like whole food carbs where you're having, you know, it might be more bread. People say that carbs are bad, but they're definitely a great fuel for the endurance world of things. If you're not having carbs, then you're probably going to break down a lot quicker.
Well, it's really the fuel that your body wants the most is carbohydrates.
Yeah.
And then fats second, followed by protein. So if you can give your body the most carbs it can have, then you're going to perform the best.
Yeah. Because carbs is easier to break down as opposed to fats. And they talk about hitting the wall. Hitting the wall is when you run out of carbs and you're moving switching to fats, which causes your body to slow down.
Have you hit the wall, Carl?
Break it down a lot quicker.
In one of the marathons that you've completed?
Wouldn't say hitting the wall, but a little injury.
And well, I think
you probably did hit the wall.
You definitely depleted yourself.
I stopped having gels because...
You just gave up. I was
disappointed.
Lost focus.
And my hammy got a bit tight.
And before we move on to the next one, it's important that on your longer runs in the lead up to your marathon, you need to practice using the fuel that you're going to on game day or on the day that you're running the marathon.
Yeah.
So if you're having gels throughout your long runs, your body, you'll know how your body and gut reacts to it.
Mm.
Because it's commonly a mistake. I luckily had heard someone or people speak about it, that they have had problems with taking something random on the day and getting some gastric upsets and having to go to the toilet. It's not great. It's not what you want.
Yeah, it's the same for when you're carb loading, like not changing anything crazily because you might think that, oh, I need this ultimate food that people suggest when you haven't had it at all leading through it through your whole training. So the night before
event, don't go to a random restaurant that you haven't before and smash some high rich food. Carbohydrate food because the next day you might wake up and I don't know, have food poisoning or have some problems downstairs, and that's not what you want.
Now, number 9 is rest days and learning what your body needs. Because when you think about your situation, you're probably doing a bit too much David Goggins at the time.
Yes, I was trying to stay hard, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, it is about reading your body. And if you genuinely are sore, then you do need to have those rest days. And it means if you have a week of smaller output with volume, then that's fine. Accept it. It's the reality of things. Because if you continue, then obviously the situation that you put yourself in was 2 weeks out, you had an injury and you couldn't complete.
Yeah, definitely overtrained way too much, which led to that. And the more you build your endurance over the years, time, you'll be able to increase your volume. So don't rush into it.
What should a split look like, a weekly split look like with rest and training days?
Depending on the person. But well,
say if someone, say probably 3 days is pretty standard.
So yeah, so say if you were running 3 days for a marathon, you would try to break it up into a Monday or Tuesday, Thursday, and a long run on a Saturday or Sunday when you have more time. Mm-hmm. So that Tuesday session could be, you might still be a little recovering from your long run, or you could, or so you could do just a 30 minute aerobic session, or you could do a threshold session on that Tuesday, mm-hmm. and like similar on the Thursday, and then your Saturday or Sunday long run is just a slow zone two run where you're building your endurance and your distance.
Yeah. And then over that period of time, you increase the mileage. And if someone's training 4 days a week, then it's adding that extra day where you do the easy run, do two intervals, and then a longer run.
And you split it up so the days in between, you're having that rest.
Yeah.
Or you're in the gym doing some strength training or whatever other sports interests that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Just so splitting up your week up, so then you're not overtraining.
Yep.
Letting your body repair.
Beautiful. Now, number 10, Brando.
Yeah, so this one comes from one of my favorite athletes, podcaster, entrepreneur, YouTuber. It's from Nick Bear, and his motto is go one more.
What does that mean?
So it actually means like your brain sets a lot of limits on what you think you can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're out running, if your plan has an 8 kilometer run or something like that, maybe you should test yourself and just do that 1K extra. So go that one little bit more, because then come on the marathon day, you know that because you've put in some extras, you might be able to run at a quicker pace for that. Maybe your plan was a 4:40 pace, but you're able to do a 4:35 pace because you've done those little things that have put you ahead. You've gone one more.
And it also helps for the big day when you do get to it, because obviously you haven't done that amount of kilometers before. It's knowing that you've built that
mentality.
Yeah, the mentality, and you've calloused your mind. That's what they say.
Yeah.
So it's it is building a mentality, because I know for myself there was a period where I had a lot of breaks and like throughout my runs, and it did like sort of simmer onto my main run.
As in like you would slow down during a long run.
Yeah, like stop. I would have stops when I knew I probably didn't need to stop. And it was just, not that it's nothing major and it's not terrible, but it was a little psychological tweak that sort of played on my mind when I was doing actual
marathon. Another reason why solo runs are so important, because you can continue running. If you're in a run group, they will generally stop for some reason.
Mm.
And it doesn't replicate what you do on marathon day.
Mm.
So they're the 10 lessons that we've learned, and I guess a little bit of a background of my story to completing my first marathon. There's one last thing that I really want to mention, and it is, there's never going to be a perfect time to complete a marathon. There's always going to be some obstacles come up in your life, like a little injury. Take a step back, speak to your coach, go see a physio, quickly reassess what it is, and then work out a way to fix that.
Yeah, because when you think about it, Ryan Holiday's book, The Obstacle is the Way, when you think about the obstacle is now the path that you have to go through. So, like you said, it's very important to reassess. And like I said before, it's accepting that if you have sustained a little injury, then, you know, get back to making sure you can
proactive decisions.
Yeah, rather than resting on your laurels and feeling bad for yourself.
Or it could even be like social. You've got a lot of social events coming up during your marathon prep. That's okay. Mm. Like, go to them still. Go do your social things. But in the back of your mind, what's more important? Is it the marathon or is it drinking and missing maybe a session? Or did you plan it right with your coach or whoever you're working with? Did you move your session so it's the day before you go out, not the day after? Because do you have a strong enough mind, or are you going to be well enough to do that long run?
Yeah, so aligning your values right, and even having people around you that are rooting for you. That's the most important part, because if you just say you're done and they're like, oh yeah, they're happy that you haven't gone through with it, it's not what you want. You want someone that's going to push you and say, why aren't you doing this? So build a good group around you as well.
I love it. We'll leave it there. And Kyle, what's our next summer series goal going to be?
It's going to be a little bit more of a focus on building a confident body and mindset as well.
Love it. Perfect. Thank you guys. Bye.